Welcome to Popular Technology Radio. I am your host, Mike Kahn. What a great day to talk about technology. Thank you for joining us. You can follow along at PopularTechnologyRadio.com or on our Facebook. Get social with us. Our Facebook is Popular Technology Radio, and don't forget to sign up for PopTech Testers. So joining us, as always, our man in the know, the guy with the news, Sam Bafani. He is Director of Quest Point Analytics. Welcome to the show, Sam.
How are you today, Mike?
I'm doing great, doing great. And we appreciate you being here today.
I appreciate being here as well. It's been a big week in the news.
Yeah. You've got some really cool ideas for us to talk about today. The first one, we'll get right into it. Google, obviously Google, everyone knows Google for the search engine, and a lot of us know Google for mapping data. But Google has been talking about building a self-driving car, and I guess they had some announcements this week about what they're doing.
Yeah, so there's a big conference put on by former Wall Street Journal journalists Walt Mossberg and Kara Swisher in Southern California, and Google demonstrated for them it's a driverless electric car. It's a prototype still, but it's essentially this is the first real, physical version of a self-driving car and what the future could potentially be.
So my question to you, Google's business model usually involves advertising modeling. So you're going on Google and you're using a lot of their services without any kind of cost impact. Now they're talking about making a self-driving car. I guess the big question is, do you believe that Google, and Google is making hardware, obviously Google Glass is a good example. There's some Google technology in phones and tablets. Do we see this as an opportunity for Google to actually make a vehicle, or do you think they're going to port this technology and they're just doing proof of concept and they'll port this technology as a service that they'll provide and sell into car OEMs like Ford or Fiat?
You've got to think it's the latter, right? I mean, despite the fact that Google has started to make some big plays into the hardware space, this is the type of thing. I don't think Google wants to be a car manufacturer necessarily. You know, I think they're really, like Microsoft used to do a bunch with different PC form factors, is you create essentially what's called a reference design, and then you let everybody else see what you've done and improve upon it and add their own touch and flair.
Yeah, and I guess it makes sense in a way because Google, obviously they have the programming power, and they are out there mapping the streets. They're doing that today with their systems that are in the car. They're going down those streets. They're mapping the data. They're actually taking pictures of the streets. You can go in now and see Street View in Google. So if they're there already, they already made the sunk cost for getting that information. Why not go ahead and make that, port that information, make it a little bit more robust, and show what you can do by porting that data to a vehicle and actually have it drive itself?
Yeah, and don't forget the way that it works, the way that you can actually summon a car to you is by using your smartphone, right? Which in Google's mind is hopefully an Android-powered smartphone.
Gotcha. So it's kind of the taxi cab of the future meets, your car of the future. I imagine in a perfect world with Google, you would be driving your Ford around using powered by Google self-drive technology. You would have your car drop you off at the mall, and it would go park itself, and then you would summon the car to you when you're done. I hope I see that soon. That sounds great. I'm getting excited just thinking about what that can mean for me and freeing my time up instead of having to search for parking places and worried about how far to walk to the car when I'm coming out of the mall.
Yeah, and so for our listeners, just to get excited because it's going to be fun, but this thing's at least 5 years away from having a non-prototype version, right? So something that's actually going to be there where you're going to be able to purchase it and buy it for personal use.
And don't forget the fact that obviously there's going to be a lot of laws that are going to have to pass before we move into this technology, but it's great. That's what we're all about on this show, is sharing this technology on the cutting edge and kind of letting our listeners know what to expect to come down. You're going to talk to Christopher Sace a little while later today. Maybe he has a point of view on whether this means it's a good thing to consider investing in Google, that they're making this kind of drive towards the next generation technology for vehicle servicing. Briefly, let's touch on Apple. Apple's now, it was no longer a rumor. They're confirming that they're going to go ahead and buy Beats.
Yeah, $3 billion acquisition. I believe this is the biggest acquisition that Apple's ever made. I think the next biggest was when it bought Steve Jobs' old company Next.
So what do you think of this? I mean, who's the winner here? Obviously, the two founders of Beats, Jimmy Iovine and Dr. Dre, they've got to be happy with the deal. They're actually going to be, if I understand correctly, they're going to be working at Apple.
That's correct. They're going to be working out of L.A. And then they spend a lot of time, obviously, up in Cupertino, you know. But you know, getting the talent such as Jimmy and Dre, and the amount of the quality of their network they have in the entertainment industry is something that I don't think you can minimize. And Tim Cook made a comment where he said, technology companies and the entertainment industry are at odds with one another. They don't see eye to eye. They've never seen eye to eye. It's a difficult situation. And bringing these guys in is really, I think, it's ultimately going to help the consumer. It's going to be a couple of years out.
Yeah, it's an interesting deal for me. And, you know, maybe Chris Versace a little bit later will add a little bit of insight from a business perspective. But I'm trying to get around the fact, you know, I've met Jimmy through the work with Sony in the years past when I was running an audio division there. And brilliant engineer. A lot of people don't know. He actually is a sound engineer. And then he went on to found Interscope Records. And Interscope Records is one of the biggest performing portions, music divisions of Universal Music. So I've seen him at work. I've seen what he does. He has an amazing ear, amazing ability to get down to sound. So while he was not trained as an engineer, I think he has very valuable feedback. And obviously, Dre's a hip-hop artist who, you know, is a record producer in his own right as well. I don't think it's the coolness factor that Apple needs. Apple's certainly a cool company, and they have no issue with brand recognition and people wanting their products as a cool technology. It's going to be really interesting to see what is the real value. What were they going for? Was it some kind of license deal that there was that Jimmy was able to do for Beats, working under Interscope and working Universal Music, that Apple then got when they acquired the company? Or why didn't they just go to Universal Music and do the deal direct? That's the interesting part for me. Is that the deal, or is it the headphones? Hey, this is Mike Kahn with Popular Technology Radio. We're going to be back in just a moment.